Revelation chapter 20 and 21. I'm just going to read several scriptures this morning. Interesting thing about the Bible, if you had never thought about it, first two chapters doesn't have any devil in it, and the last two chapters, no devil. Pretty good, huh? No devil in chapter 1 and 2, and no devil in chapter 20 and 21 of Revelation. So, paradise lost and paradise regained. I'm sorry, we're going to read 21 and 22. Well, first off, we'll just, in chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There's found no place for them. Now, if you've been here, we've had this whole thing all laid out all across the pulpit. And last week we had the great white throne judgment. And then after that is eternity. I believe that even prior to Great White Throne Judgment, or at the time of the Great White Throne Judgment, this earth that we're living on will pass away. We'll read some scriptures now in a minute where it says it'll be destroyed by fire. I believe that the world will just disappear, the earth. Really, I do. I think it'll be destroyed. I think if there's any one thing we're supposed to know, and we're supposed to learn, and we're supposed to understand that this world we're living in is temporary. Even the ground we stand on is temporary. Therefore, we shouldn't worship the things of this world. It's all right to have them. It's all right to own things. It's all right to enjoy the things of the world. Just keep in mind, it's all temporary. It's all going to pass away. You don't have anything that's eternal besides your soul and your children, and their souls are eternal. We ought to live for that which is eternal. We shouldn't be so caught up in the system of the world and the things of the world. All of it's going to pass away. And I believe it'll pass away about the time of the Great White Throne Judgment. In Revelation chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there's no more sea. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Like I said before, it's going to be there's no devil in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, and no devil in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. I believe we're going to have a heaven and we're going to have an earth where the devil's never been. Amen. That's going to make a difference. Where the devil has never put his foot down. Matter of fact, the main thing about heaven is going to be God himself. By the way, we had a track around here. If any of you still have a copy of them, I'm looking for them. Your final duty station. I'm wanting to have that track reprinted, but... For those of you that are saved, this is your final duty station, heaven. And the main feature of heaven is going to be God himself. And the second thing we want to know about heaven, it is a place, okay? It's an actual, literal place. It's not an imagination or something like that. Jesus Christ went to heaven in a glorified body, and we're going to heaven in a glorified body. Now, Let's read over in the Old Testament, okay? Book of Isaiah. I don't know what to tell you folks about heaven. I've never been. And you all read Revelation chapter 21 and 22. Most of you have. You know about the streets of gold. You know about all that. Well, I can't add anything to it. I mean... It's hard to improve on it, you know. And I can't tell you a whole lot about it that you can't read yourself. The main thing is that we ought to believe in it. We ought to look forward to it. We ought to believe the Bible. Your parents that have passed away and gone to heaven, inside our heart, we ought to have a song for them, you know. Sure, we miss them. Sure, it's sad that they're gone. But if they're gone to heaven, praise the Lord, it's good. And we ought to believe this. Japanese Christians believe it. We Americans, we've been brought up in it, you know. We've heard about heaven all our lives. Kind of like imagination thing, you know. And we don't practice it like we should. When we came to Japan 11 years ago, and I started meeting Japanese Christians, the one thing I noticed about them different than Americans was they actually would get excited about one of their loved ones dying and going to heaven. They thought, that's wonderful. You know, they hadn't heard about it. They'd been all their life not knowing anything about it. And all of a sudden, they started hearing about heaven. They started, you know, they knew they were saved, and they started hearing about heaven. And somebody, you know, we Americans, if you go up and you meet somebody, and if somebody's died, we want to hug them, say, well, God bless you. That's sad. Well, you know, we just hug one another and bawl and squall a little while. And I understand that. That's our culture. That's the way we do it. But when we first met these Japanese Christians, little bitty fella up in Japan, older man, and all bent over, and real good Christian man, and met him, and his brother or somebody died, and you know, we sorry, didn't know how to say it, Japanese, and wonderful, gone to heaven. he's excited, gone to heaven, and we ought to be that way about it. We really should. Certainly, if you lose a child or you lose your parents, you should cry. I don't think you'll ever get over it. I don't think we'll ever get over it. If you lose a child, you never recover. It's stupid to say that you can have a child and a child die and you forget it. You can never forget it. That child that's gone to heaven is as much a part of you as the child that you have in the home with you. And it'll always be that way. And I think it's silly that we could think that our parents could die and we'd forget them. I hope that you can't forget your parents. I get bothered about some GI or some person out here on Okinawa that can just write their parents off. Just forget them. Just X them off like they don't even exist. Just forget them. I hope you're not that way. How can you forget your mama that brought you into this world and taught you how to eat and talk and walk and the whole smear, and you just forget her? What kind of animal are you in him? I'm a little upset. I met one of these animals the other day. Don't forget your parents. They're part of you and you're part of them. And even if they go on to heaven, they're part of you, and you're part of them. That's all. That's just fact. But at the same time, we don't have to be defeated and sad about it. We can rejoice to go on to heaven. Death is not such a horrible thing. Death is deliverance. Death is a promotion. Been promoted from this world to a better place. So we look at it all wrong. But let's look at some scriptures. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17. Even Old Testament prophets look forward to a new heaven and a new earth, especially Isaiah. Let's see, Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create a new heaven. I create new heavens and a new earth. Former shall not be remembered or come into mind. We're going to forget about it. Going to get a new heaven, a new earth, forget about this one. By the way, the Bible talks about three heavens. Paul was lifted up to third heaven. The way I understand it, the Mormons have two or three, they have three heavens, you know. And the better Mormons goes on up to the third heaven. Poor Mormons in heaven number two. And some of us folks that don't know any better, maybe heaven number one. And if you've been a good Mormon and quit, so the moral of the story, never become a Mormon. And at least you guaranteed heaven number one. Heaven number one is the surrounding atmosphere of this earth where birds fly and birds live. Heaven number two is on out beyond that where our satellites go and our astronauts go. Heaven number three, third heaven, would be where God is. And it's going to be new. Isaiah chapter 66, next chapter, verse 22. For the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Now, back over, and I'm trying to keep them together here. Isaiah chapter 24. This is written 700 years before Christ. Hadn't happened yet, but Christ came right on the button, and this will happen right on the button. Don't even question it. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 5. First line. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, and broken the everlasting covenant. This earth that we live in is defiled. This earth that we live on is under a curse. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Let's read over in the New Testament, book of Hebrews. That's right after Timothy and Titus and along there. Hebrews chapter 1. I'm just backing up to reassure you some of these things, other than tell you about the streets of gold. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. And thou, O Lord, by the way, this is a quotation from Psalms 102. Thou, O Lord, in the beginning hast said, or hath laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? This heaven and this earth is just temporary. It's going to get old. And some of these days, God's just going to do like we do. When things get old, he's just going to fold it up and put it away. No big deal. It's going to come to an end. Don't need it anymore. Let's read in 2 Peter. Please, that's after Hebrews. I try to find a way to tell you the same old story, but try to make it a little bit interesting. Same old thing you've heard, many of you heard all your life, but I'm trying to tell you, approach it from a different angle. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. That's after all this is over, the great white throne. I believe it's going to happen about that time. Verse 10, okay? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, according to what Isaiah said. By the way, the just shall live by faith, and faith is always dependent on what they said, not what you feel. We're not looking for a new earth because we feel like we need a better one. We're looking for a new earth because God said there will be one. And he said here, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, you remember back in Isaiah, he said, this earth is defiled. This earth has been corrupted because the devil's been on this earth. But we're going to get a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And it's going to be this earth is going to be destroyed by fire. All of us have heard that. And I just think it's interesting. I just want you to know what I think. I do not believe that the earth will be destroyed by nuclear weapons. I don't believe God's going to let Russia and United States destroy His earth. He'll do it Himself. He is. He'll fold it up when He gets ready to fold it up. America and United States and Russia do not have the power to destroy something God's made. Now, they might botch it up pretty good. You know, they may put a lot of scars on it, and they may mess around with it a whole lot. And I'm not telling you that we won't have nuclear war. I'm not saying we're not. But I don't think the world will ever be destroyed by nuclear war. That's a fallacy that we've been taught, that Russia can sit over there and drop a nuclear bomb on the United States and destroy the whole country at one whack. And we've been taught that that we can just destroy. We can't destroy Russia, and they can't destroy us at one whack. Now again, we can make a mess out of one another, but that's not the end of the world. That's not the destruction of this earth we're talking about. I personally believe that Jesus Christ spoke this world into existence, and when He comes again, when He comes back here for the great white throne judgment, heaven and earth will flee away. And I think all He's got to do is say, "Okay, it's finished. It's done." And it'll be gone. No big deal about it. That's God. And back over to Revelation, okay? Chapter 21. This is exciting. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. First heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Now, I personally believe there just won't be any more sea. I've read all the commentaries on it. There's all kinds of different things that could represent, but why not just let it be no more sea? He said, "Where are we going to get our water?" "From the river of life, brother. We new source of water in this place." Verse 2. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now, I like that. I like that. Because I don't know about all this. I don't know whether it's up there now or not. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. I don't know where this is going to come from. All I know, it comes down from heaven, from out of heaven, from God. John saw it coming down out of heaven from God. Adorned as a bride. So here is a city. This is a bride city. Nothing any better, more exciting than a bride adorned for a husband. Right? Man, they all look pretty. Amen? You just don't find an ugly bride. Did I tell you all what Dr. Robertson said about, I shouldn't do this. Did I tell you all what he said about that bride from... y'all want me to tell where he said this happened? Amen. West Virginia. Now, how many people have from West Virginia besides Mrs. Turner? Mrs. Turner, you forgive me, okay? Dr. Officer, this one of his favorite tales. Y'all heard him tell her. Did I tell y'all this other day? About the couple went to the preacher in West Virginia going to get married. And said... And the preacher, or the guy getting married, said, "Pastor said, how much I owe you?" And he said, "Whatever you think she's worth." So he gave the preacher 50 cents. So they went on with the ceremony. Oh, this is awful. Dr. Robertson said it. I'm just quoting Dr. Robertson. And, went on with the wedding and got down to the end and said, "Now you can kiss the bride." So they pulled back the veil, got ready to kiss the bride. The preacher reached his pocket and gave the guy a quarter back. Now, if he'd have said Kentucky, I'd have fired him off a letter. Amen. Martha, you can write him. I got his address, okay? And, nothing like a bride adorned for a husband. and here's a city coming down. Coming down from God out of heaven. Now, let's read 3, 4, 5, and 6. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God's with men, and he'll dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The outstanding feature of heaven is God. We cannot comprehend God at all. Hey, by the way, you come back tonight. I want you to be here tonight for the sermon, okay? Not on heaven. But we as believers today should have an intimate, close relationship with God. Many of you are missing that. Most people, only thing they know about God is church. And God is greater than church. And you ought to have a relationship with God that goes far beyond church meetings. And those of you that are married and know the closeness of married love and the exciting thrill of married love, and you guys that are married and your wife is in the States, you ought to know very well something's wrong. If you're married and you've known married love and the closeness and the intimacy of that, and then you are separated from your wife and that is a part and that is gone out of your life, you know that you're missing something. Amen? We believers should have that same relationship with God. I don't want a closeness with my wife one day a week. Oh, got to talk to my wife for an hour. How boring can it get? I have to be with my wife for 2 hours. This will soon be over. Is that the kind of relationship I have with my wife? Well, that's the way most people's relationship is with God. Just have to go to church on Sunday. And we start at 10, we try to get out at 12, but the long-winded preacher runs us over a little every once in a while. And then that's all you want all week. What kind of relationship is that? Something wrong. Guy that doesn't want to go home, something matter to him. And a guy that doesn't want to be with God, something matter to him. We ought to have that same closeness. I mean goose pimples. Have the goose pimples gone out of your marriage? They shouldn't. And there ought not be any goose pimples gone out of your relationship with God either. If you can't get goose pimples in your marriage, meet me after a while. We need to work on your marriage. Most people lose them in a month after the marriage. We ought to still have them. Well, I'm trying to say that we ought to have them in our relationship with God. You ought to meet with God on a daily basis. You ought to fellowship with God in your home, and you ought to fellowship with God in private. And it's like making love. It's a private matter. You can't share it with other people, and you can't tell other people about it, and you don't do it in front of everybody. Amen. It's a private matter, and that's the relationship we ought to have with God, so intimate, so close with God that the goose pimples will stand up, and man, you get excited, and your heart gets beating fast. Wow! You say, wow! Now, we ought to know that. And when we get to heaven, it ought not be a big change. The only difference is we're going to have God with us. Now we do that by faith. We get goose pimples by faith. We get excited by faith. Our heart beats fast by faith just thinking about God and talking about God and reading His Word. And Lord, we get excited by faith. But someday, face to face, we'll be with God Himself. You say, is that God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit? All three of them, brother. We're going to have it all. Amen. The fullness of the Godhead, everybody will be there. And we're going to be right there in the midst of them. Who could ask for more? Wow! Think about it. Exciting. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's the reason some people are uncomfortable at church. I don't know what in the world you're going to do in heaven. And another thought that I've thought many a time, a lot of Baptists say they're saved and won't even go to church. I want to tell you this. I believe with all my heart, a faith that will not take you to church won't take you to heaven. So, I mean, we're going to be with God, folks. And verse Wait a minute. Read verse 22. And I saw an old temple therein. Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. And I saw an old temple therein. You know what a temple is? That's a dwelling place. The temple was a place where God met with the people. And the church, you know what a church is? Church is the people. This is a church building. Church house. This is not the church. This is the church where, this is the building where the church meets. But when we get to heaven, there won't be a temple. There won't be a church building. That's what it says. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Amen. We don't need to have a place like that. He's going to be it. Now, let's read some more. Verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I believe that. I believe God's just going to go around wiping out all our tears. There shall be no more death. For there will be a death all the way. All the way. Death all the way. All the way. Right on out to the great white throne. And that will be the end of death. And death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And somewhere after that, I believe we'll shed tears. And I believe God Himself is going to take out His cloth and wipe away our tears. We'll be like God, and He'll give us a gift to be able to forget. And we'll forget about this earth. We'll forget about old relationships. We're going on with God. Wipe away all tears. Be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. That's all with this earth. Every bit of that's with this earth, because this earth is under curse. All that's going, brother. All that's passed away. Verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. I tell you what. Verse 6, and he said unto me, It is done. It's done. What do you mean it is done? Well, when he was on the cross, he said it's finished. Now he says it's done. What that mean? You just go back to the Old Testament, you start reading those promises about a new heaven and a new earth and everything that's been promised. Everything that's in the Bible will be finished when we get to that part. When we get past the great white throne judgment and we get out there when he wipes away all tears and we're living in heaven with him, God can say, It is done. Everything. Then we won't ever have to read the Bible then and say, Well, I wonder when this is going to happen. I'm looking forward to this. No. When we get to heaven, the Bible will be there, by the way. And then we're going to read it and understand every bit of it. I always get the feeling I'm going to be aggravated at myself when I really know it like it is, you know. But anyway, praise God, it'll be different. But anyway, we're going to be able to read the Bible in heaven and look back and say, That's what that was. That's what that meant. That's what that represents. That's what he's trying to tell us. Boy, it'll be exciting to read the Bible in, huh? It's exciting to read it now, but it'd be a whole lot better to read it with a new body when you got a mind like God. Yeah, well, that's more than he'll be able to comprehend. And let's turn, hold your finger, please, and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. I'm going to show you something that's fantastic. Just read it and believe it. That's all I know. 1 Corinthians 15. You can read about the streets of gold and all that kind of stuff yourself, okay? Let's hurry. I want to get this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. And then quickly back to Revelation. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. That he's going to present the church to himself. In Ephesians chapter 5, you remember we read it? He's going to present it all to God, even the Father. When we shall have put down all rule, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. That's when the great white throne judgment will all be done. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. Now, that's beyond our mind, but that just means that God is the exception. Verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. You say, what's all that mean? I don't know. But I just know this, that even when we get to heaven, Jesus Christ himself will submit himself to the Father, and we're going to forget about all of this, except that God will be God in all. Back over to Revelation chapter 21, please, quickly. I want to read some things here and share this with you. Verse 11, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, hey, listen, I'm not going to read all of these stones and all that kind of stuff, because I can't pronounce all of them. But let's read some of it. Verse 12, had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates were 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me as had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And let's listen to this. Let me explain something to you. Everything there is going to be transparent. Now, I don't understand all this. It even talks about the gold being transparent. And what I'm trying to say, it's clear as crystal and transparent because, see, from everything, the glory of God will be reflected. And through everything and in everything, the glory of God will just be reflected. In other words, nothing will soak up the glory of God. Everything will just magnify the glory of God. See, it's so different from anything we're used to. Now, let me give you these facts. It says it's, let's read this, verse 16. The city lies four square in the length, as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Listen, it's a cube, and it's 1,500 miles in every direction. This is the city only. This is not heaven. 1,500 miles in every direction. It says, if you go from Maine, you go down the eastern seacoast to go over to Florida, and you head out to Colorado, and then you go back to Maine, you got the size of the city. You know, we get all this phony baloney now, humanism, saying we're running out of food, we're running out of space, you've got to quit having babies, we're running out of space. The world population could fit into the city of Jacksonville, Florida. How dumb we are. World population can fit in the city of Jacksonville, Florida right now, and we're going to have one city that will reach from Maine to Florida to Colorado. One city, 1,500 miles. Somebody figured it up, it's 2,225,000 square miles. You say, how big is that? London, England's 140 square miles. London, England's 140 square miles. Somebody figured this city up to be a 1,500 mile cube, 1,500 mile in every direction, 2,225,000 square miles. It'll hold 100 million people. You say, how many has the world ever had? And we figure the world, now here I am again, we figure the world's some 6,000 year old, and somebody said the population of the world since Adam is about 60 million people, and heaven itself will hold 100 million people. And you know everybody been here not going to heaven. Don't worry, folks. You'll have plenty of space when you get there. We're just talking about downtown. You get tired shopping around there, just going out into heaven. You country folks. Amen. Isn't it wonderful? I don't understand it all, but it's some kind of place. Amen. Spurgeon told this story, and I'm going to quit. I don't remember all the details of Spurgeon's story, but listen to this. This is blessed. Spurgeon's story. You know, you can make up all kinds of stories about heaven. This is not true. This is just a preacher's story. Spurgeon said, in heaven, in walked the apostles. In walked the apostles. In walked all the Old Testament prophets. In walked all the full-time Christian workers. and the heavenly music played when they walked in. And then after they came in walked a woman taken in adultery. In walked the thief on the cross. In walked old Mary Magdalene herself. And when these sinners started coming in, heaven stood up and shouted. They played music for the apostles, and they played music for the Old Testament prophets, and they played music for the preachers and the full-time workers, because you expect them to be in heaven. But in walked a woman taken in adultery that we had last Sunday morning. The woman taken in adultery, when she walked into heaven, and Mary Magdalene, a prostitute, walked into heaven, and the thief on the cross walked into heaven, they all stood up and shouted, because they sang, "These are they that were mighty sinners, saved by the grace of God." Amen? The good thing about heaven is that sinners are going to be there, saved by the grace of God, brother. Not qualified any other way, but washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Amen. Wearing the robes of righteousness been given to us by the grace of God. Amen. Some folks you expect to get there. But when we get there, it's just going to be because He's good to us. Amen? Matter of fact, if anyone gets there, it's just going to be by His grace. Heaven. We're looking forward to it, okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the truth of heaven. Greater than we can comprehend. Encourage your folks to look forward to the day when we'll move out of here and go to heaven. Whether by death or by the rapture, it really doesn't really matter a whole lot. We'll miss this world. We'll miss our loved ones. And our loved ones miss us. And we don't want to go off and leave them. And we don't want to live without them. But Lord, if any of us be taken, let us rejoice in the truth of the Word of God over our feelings. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.